Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1095. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me for this episode, we have Pete, all the way from Europe. What's up, Pete?
What up?
What's up, man? What's going on? And how's everything over there?
It is snowing. So if you know me, coming from Florida, this is a drastic change to my personal well-being. It's been snowing on and off for since Thursday. It was like -6 yesterday, and family and I went off to Lugano, which is about a 2.5 hour trip by train down, on the border of Italy. So we were on the lake, able to see Italy from one side of the lake. Other than that, getting ready to get locked down. Swiss government has imposed a mandatory work from home. So if the opportunity is there and you're required to work from home. So I'll be sitting in this chair a lot more than I normally do.
Oof. Yeah, I haven't really been going out at all. I've been home the whole time. And if we need something, groceries, food, anything, we just order it online and people would just leave it right in front of the house, the apartment. That's it. So trying to keep ourselves safe, man, because it's pretty bad over here in Los Angeles, you know?
For sure.
Yeah, so for those who are listening, please wear a mask, keep yourself safe, and hopefully later this year, things will go, slowly will go back to normal, And just keep yourself safe, everyone, all right? All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just find us, search for Gamertag Radio. And once we pop up, subscribe, follow us, or even post a review, and it will help us out, get the word out about GTR. Also, if you'd like to be part of our fan mail segment or episode, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, B, so we have a couple of topics here. And, I was browsing online. And, typically January is always like a little bit slow here and there. Once in a while, you get that big news, right? And then things will get back to normal with tons of news once it gets closer to like spring, especially the summer, like around May or so. But the news that I really wanted Paris to be here too for this episode, but hopefully I'll talk to him next time about it. But CD Projekt Red posted a video, man, about Cyberpunk 2077, a couple updates about the game, but the main thing was the apology, man. The co-founder of CD Projekt Red said, like, hey, look, don't blame the developers, blame on us, on leadership, which we've been saying this now for, what, months? Mm-hmm. And I know recently you've just finished the game, the single player game, right? Not the main campaign, not the side quest or anything, right?
I did most of it. I mean, I'd say I was 80%, maybe more. Mm. The only thing I didn't do were the races and the fights, like the boxing fights. That's it. I finished everything else. That being said, though, I mean, I acknowledge and I appreciate that, he took time out of his schedule to announce, the apology. I know Adam Badowski did his own separate thing on Twitter, but I think I don't know if the apology came off as well as intended. My personal opinion.
Yeah.
There were things that were said, and yes, 100% stand behind the blame the leadership portion of the communication, but there were some things that he didn't address. And I'm going to go there, unfortunately, and I hate to do this, but he didn't acknowledge the additional the crunch. He didn't really get into detail on the whys, only what they were going to do as a result. That said, and we've been saying this probably for the last 3 or 4 years here on this show, regardless of your timelines or your investor responsibilities or your stake or your shareholders, your stakeholder responsibilities, if the game is not ready, push it back. They're saying that, the spring is when the full patches for all for next gen and PC should be out. But I don't, from what I understand, last gen, Xbox One X, PS4, those won't be out till the end of the year, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're correct.
That's not good, considering the majority of your consumer base is on those older platforms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's people, you know, that are you know, fortunate enough, like myself in Paris, et cetera, who have newer gigs or newer rigs that can run it well or above average.
Mm-hmm.
But even those are still, you know, susceptible to the glitches and the bugs that are not hardware dependent. Again, if your projects are not ready, don't put it out in a half-assed format, because it's only going to do your company, your brand, more harm than good, right? Mm-hmm. There's commentary saying that there was a higher priority placed on marketing and advertising versus development of the game. There was commentary about focus on like the demo reels that we were all shown at E3 and Tokyo Game Show and Gamescom, et cetera, that those were focused on higher and not actually, you know, spending that time or that effort on the actual game development. The other thing that came out was that they developed their engine for this game concurrently with the development of the game, which makes it very difficult to actually properly code the game where you're not overstepping boundaries for the game engine to render and everything else that's related to the game. And it was, I think the example that they likened it to was trying to have a train on its tracks, but creating the railroad tracks at the same time as you're driving the train. When you look at things like that, and I don't know if this is a company maturity thing or if this is a industry maturity thing, right? That should be common knowledge where a company doesn't try to develop its engine in real time at the same time as it's developing the game. Like, even if there was a separation of development of this engine by 3 or 4 months, that would have given enough leeway in between development of the game to do, you know, to be able to so that it's not overlapping itself and stumbling on itself and causing a bigger problem than it should have. And then obviously, you know, the other big thing was that the development of the game didn't actually start until 2016, which means there was 3 or 4 years after the announcement of the game until they actually started developing Cyberpunk. Mm-hmm. While that does sound egregious as a title, 4 years on a game really isn't that bad in the grand scheme of things. Will we see some kind of, I'm trying to think of the right word to say, will we see a redemption story for Cyberpunk and CD Projekt Red in the coming year where they become, where we saw what happened with Hello Games and No Man's Sky, or maybe Fallout 76 and Bethesda, although Bethesda's, you know, Todd Howard still kind of rubs me the wrong way with regards to how that happened, right? Because it just works. it just doesn't, you know, it just didn't at launch. But I would like to see the redemption story for CDPR. Obviously that wasn't the reason for this. You know, these things happen. Unfortunately, I think this may put more onus on QA for the industry in general. I would like to see more onus being put on QA, so that way the consumer doesn't catch the consumer isn't held, by the short hairs, trying to enjoy the game for their $60-$70 investment. I'd also like to see QA be put to a higher standard and let those QA testers actually do their jobs in a better environment than a lot of them are currently, because I don't think they get the love in the industry that they deserve. And mm-hmm. I think that's it, man. I mean, I think I would love to see this industry mature to the point where we're not predicating sales on a day one patch, right? We shouldn't have to have a day one patch. Like, do you get a day one patch when you buy your car in the dealership? No, because it works, right? Yes, on the occasional instance, you'll have
smart cars,
right? But on an occasional instance, you'll have an issue with that, right? Where you get a lemon, right? Where things just don't work, and they get you a new car, right? But it's working. You know, front to back, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
It's become all too prevalent in the gaming industry now, where everything is just, we'll just release a day one patch on that, or we'll just keep patching DL, and et cetera until it works. It shouldn't get like that. There has to get to some point where we as consumers will just refuse to buy products that aren't ready day one, and it'd be okay, right? I know everybody, myself included, I'm just as guilty as everybody else because of the hype and whatnot for this title. We're looking forward to it for, 8-10 years, whatever. I would like to see games come out that work day one, that don't require a massive day one patch to get it to a bare minimum, point where it's playable. If it's not playable on all the platforms that you have promised, fix it and release it when it's ready. That's it.
No, I totally agree. I think one thing that I notice, and also have conversation with Paris and a couple other people, but if you remember, Pete, when we got to see this game at E3, and also when other people from the content creators and also the media got a chance to play this game hands-on during the summer, it was the prologue. The prologue was the part in the game that I felt like it was well done. Mm-hmm. It was really well done. So that was the part that CD Projekt Red will always show at E3. Mm-hmm. And that's what the media got to play the game too, right? After the prologue, you noticed the change in the game. The other day, actually like 2 days ago, I was streaming here on Twitch. And I was playing. I did like a side quest. I was already done. I was like, all right, cool. Everything was running smooth. I was about to change the game. But before changing the game, I was like, all right, let me finish this quest. So I got to the location. I need to drop off the car at a garage, and I had to leave. As soon as I got out of the car, I went like underground. Like everything was just weird looking. Like the graphic was all over the place. And I think we talked about this many times now on the show, that I don't want to like force myself to like the game and play it, and then there's bugs in the way that will kill the experience every single time you play, right? So I finished the campaign. I've been doing a lot of side quests, the fighting missions, I did that. The only thing that I have available, I think, is still a couple undiscovered quests and the car quest, which is too much money to buy those cars. So I haven't really been buying that. But I hate when you're playing the game and the game just either freezes or gets a little buggy. Something happens that will completely mess up the game. Then I have to save it, restart the game, and play it over. Like, I don't want to do that when I buy a game. And I know a lot of people probably that have the console version. I don't know if it's like that for the PC, but it's frustrating doing that, man. And I love the game because the game, I feel like, besides bugs aside, the game is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. The story is fantastic. I love the story. It has multiple endings and everything, right? So you want to go back and see, you want to see it all, right? But when you have all these bugs, it's like, damn, you're killing the vibe, man. You know, and I, look, I'm a huge fan of CD Projekt Red. Huge fan. Love the Witcher series, especially 3. I think is one of my favorite games of last generation. They were like, remember when we were having this conversation, Pete, on the show? We will always say, man, CD Projekt Red, one of our favorite developers out there, top studio, right? So we trusted the studio big time. And this, now we have like, now we're paused now. Like, okay, should we wait and see what's going to happen next with the game? You know, are they going to come back strong once they fix the bugs and everything in the future? I can see that happening, but it's like now I'm super careful when a studio is hyping a game. And look, like you said, it's our fault too, because we were excited about the game. But the reason is we got to see it at E3 as a presentation where they show us from the presentation at the press conference, right? And also behind closed doors. And we've been to their meetings multiple times throughout the years, and also from other companies, and it's always been good. We could tell when it's like bad or not. We didn't even notice when it comes to this game at all, because they were showing the part where it was like the less buggy from the all over the game. Well, every single time we'll see it behind closed doors, you know what I'm saying? So that's the thing that's frustrating, because look, every person that got to play the game, Pete, during the summer, everybody was excited. Oh, man, the game is pretty cool. You could do this. You could do that. It was very positive. I think Paris was the only one that said, okay, the driving needs work, or certain things needs work, right? But besides that, it felt like it was positive, you know what I'm saying? And now that the game came out, the PC had a great performance, but the console, which is the majority of the people, bad experience, last gen, you know? So I don't know, man. I just hope that in the future it gets better, man, because it sucks. Now, as a gamer and as a consumer, we are going to be super careful what we're going to be hyping the game and also pre-ordering the game. Were you going to say something about that?
Yeah, so the whole, you know, seeing the prologue and those things at the beginning, and it seemed perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Those are miniature slices in time captured specifically for those moments. Yes. And we assumed this when we saw them. Mm-hmm. Seeing the game run flawlessly in picture perfect, crisp, super detail. So we assumed it was on PC, but the guy playing it was on a controller. We know that those are captured moments in time. We've seen those at press conferences. We've seen those at events. We know those are things, but also, those are also, we saw the stamps. You saw the screen stamps on everything. Game is in progress. So yeah, those moments didn't translate exactly to what we played in the game, right? And that's because those are in-game slices in a specific moment in time. Those things will change. And me, having come from IT and tech, I understand that, and I'm okay with that, right? If I don't get exactly what I saw on the screen 2 years ago, I'm not going to be upset. But at the same time, the developer is still held that, you know, and going back to what we're talking about, the developer still needs to be held liable or responsible for not putting out a buggy mess, right? And it just has to get to the point that we no longer, and we've said this dozens of times, right? And we just always have, we just have to keep pushing this, right? If the game's not ready, don't put it out. Games will be okay. Okay. It's not, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to make it seem, you know, this, you know, this wild, but it's just a video game, right? Yes. I understand that there's business requirements, you know, there's timelines and bonuses, et cetera, that are associated or tied to these things. But at the end of the day, this isn't life, you know, this isn't life threatening. These are just entertainment experiences. It should be okay to allow those things, to allow time, or whether it's the developer, the creator, et cetera, to put out a finished product that is 100%. Or I mean, hell, I'll even give them a 5% buffer. Give me a 100% or 95% finished thing, right? Mm-hmm. But for us to see games impacted this way, impacting things across the board this poorly, it does show that there was a break somewhere, whether it was project management, et cetera. And it needs to be fixed. And I'm looking at the chat now. I know that they're talking about, should they do beta? Should they do early access? Yes and no. Because, again, those are very small slices in time. You can code specifically for that. And that's how game development works, right? You've got your team working on, you know, we'll just use Cyberpunk as this example, right? We're going to do a 3-month beta, or, you know, a 3-month prior to launch beta of the title, or an alpha or early access build. There, that whole chunk for that game or for that beta or that early access component is split off. So now you've splintered your, let's say, 100-person team. You've now chunked off 25 people to a separate project associated to your title to work on that little early access beta component portion. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing that, have your QA testers, which is what they are there for, to be your team. Employ them so that you're not reliant on people who have either bad internet or a device that they've never cared for, that's been sitting on top of their couch, that's been sitting, you know, on carpet with three dogs and has been used as an ashtray holder, you know, and it's a poor environment, right?
Yeah.
You can't do that. You have to allow some kind of testing throughout the development cycle, right? And I'm not to say that CDPR or any other developer isn't doing this. I'm just using my personal experience in tech and IT and applying it to the same component. That's all it really is. Making sure that you have adequate testing resources and applying that towards your product. Thing is, mm-hmm. This isn't the first time that we're seeing this. Unfortunately, no, it's not going to be the last until... And we've said it before, show your support with your wallet. If you don't feel comfortable with it, pre-orders are not a requirement, dude. Pre-orders are not a requirement. You don't need to go and throw that money out day one. If you have hype and you have excitement and you're okay with it, go ahead and pre-order, but don't complain day one when it's not 100% because you're helping support that.
Yeah, I totally agree. So look, for those that are watching, send us your thoughts and feedback about that. And hit us up, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Also, you could call us, 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. By the way, Pete, so I don't know if you saw the list of from Xbox games exclusively coming out to the console this year. It's a pretty cool list. I know besides Psychonauts 2 and Halo Infinite, they put a lot of games that I've never heard of, and a couple of games that probably was announced throughout the year. But I also heard that there is a couple of unannounced games, which I think Xbox is waiting for the perfect time to announce it and release it. And which most likely is going to be exclusive too. But Psychonauts is not exclusive. That game is coming out to Xbox Game Pass. And all these games as announced is also coming out to Xbox Game Pass. So make sure to go to Xbox Wired. Go through there. And there you'll see all the announcements of games that are going to be available for Xbox. Some of them are like indie games and so on. So, But I'm excited to see the future when it comes to these games, man. Is there any games that stood out to you from this list besides Halo and Psychonauts?
I've seen Psychonauts the last 2 years at TwitchCon or E3. So I can't wait. Psychonauts is one of those legendary titles that just you look forward to playing because it takes you out from the normal day to day gaming stuff. There's a few that we saw on this announcement that I think they had already announced Scorn, which was the one that looks like Prometheus, the first person horror adventure. I can't wait for that one. I'm gonna play that one with the lights on. I don't care. Say what you want about me. The Medium, third person psychological horror. That one I talked about last week is one of the ones I'm really looking forward to for 21. I mean, I'm not going to talk about Halo Infinite. We already know that one. Notice the number of titles out here, on this list is great. Even if it's just volume, I don't care. This is what everybody has wanted from Microsoft, whether it's been in a positive or a negative connotation. This is exactly what they needed to do. This is the sheer quantity. You wanted a catalog. Big complaint was they didn't have titles. Here you go. Crossfire X is something I'm really looking forward to seeing how it plays out on Xbox. Considering the sheer number of players that this game has had over the last 10 years, 650 million registered players over 10 years. That's a massive, stupid number of people of people playing this game, and to see it finally coming to Xbox, I'm really excited to see that. The Ascent, that's another one, targeting 60 FPS and full 4K on Series X. So that's going to be, who knows? That might just be the counter for Cyberpunk 2077, right? If CDPR can't get their thing straight. Artful Escape looked interesting to me. That's the one from Annapurna Interactive. So
I could tell you a couple over here that I've been looking at. Tunic. Have you seen that one? That one is
They talked about that one on the Microsoft Showcase, though, didn't they?
Yeah. But I seen it playable like at E3. I think it was like 2 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of Link to the Past, like that type of vibe of game.
Okay.
The boss battle, the puzzles, super cool. I love the design in there. Like, I think I did a recording about that game, hands-on, and also a Q&A with the developers.
Didn't we play this at E3 last year?
It was available, playable, last year. 2 years ago, you mean. You mean 2 years ago.
That's true. Okay. Last E3.
2 years ago.
Yes, we played this one. I remember this one was a lot of fun, too.
I got to see this behind closed doors, and I spoke to the developers, and I recorded a quick interview with them. So make sure to listen to our past episodes. Is there? Scorn looks really good, P, because I'm a horror guy. I love that those type of games. Like, I'm excited to play The Medium in a couple weeks. Look, once I get those games, dude, I'm gonna go play this lights off, stream it, and just play it there, man, and just enjoy it, because I just love horror games, man. Love it. And I looked at it, it reminded me of a little bit of Control, a little bit of Alan Wake, Until Dawn, that type of vibe, PlayStation, and I love Until Dawn. So another game that looks really cool that I think is perfect for Xbox Game Pass is 12 Minutes, that interactive thriller game. Do you remember that, Pete?
I don't know if I've seen this gameplay.
It's really good. It's really good. Look up 12 minutes.
I'm reading it now. A romantic evening with your wife turns into a violent invasion as a man breaks into your home, accuses your wife of murder, and beats you to death. Now I remember. You have the time loop going back and forth, and you got to figure out the clues and stuff. This looks really good.
It looks really good. Psychonauts, of course. I can't wait to play it. I love the first one. We definitely got to talk more about like what was it that you got to see behind closed doors of Psychonauts 2, because you were the only one from us they got to see it behind closed doors, mm-hmm. I heard it was a pretty cool presentation and everything. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. What other game? Well, console wise, I would like to try out the Flight Simulator game, which is coming out in the summer, and that's when it's only going to be for next gen for Xbox mm-hmm. Series X and X. I mean, that's about it. I know there is a couple more other games, Halo. The Gunk looks really cool. That one looks really, really good. And that's coming out this year. Wow. The good thing about all this, Pete, is that all these games, even if you're not interested, at least you want to check it out, it's going to be on Game Pass. You're not losing anything, man. There's a bunch of games coming out this year exclusively for Xbox or exclusive only for Game Pass. So
yeah, I'm also really cool, man. I'm also interested in seeing how Warhammer 40,000 Darktide comes out. At least see how it plays on X, on the X and on the S. I know it's playable on PC already, but I'm curious to see how it's going to play and how the gameplay is going to work out. It's a 4-player co-op. I'd love mm-hmm. to see me be able to play that via Xbox. Is it on Game Pass? No, it's not Game Pass.
Which one?
I don't.
Which one again?
I think it's on Game Pass because I don't see it. Warhammer 40,000.
No. Let me see.
Because I'm on their website. It's coming to Xbox, but I don't think it's on Game Pass.
That one, no.
And I'm curious. I'd love to see. I'd love to be able to play that with people on, cross platform. So mm-hmm. if that is the option there, I would love to be able to see that there. I would love to be able to play that with people.
Because I know when they showed a lot of those games that was on over the summer, like the showcase, mm-hmm. all those games was Game Pass. So I remember them showing that game there too. So, I mean, I think this is all Game Pass games. I'm not 100% sure, but hey, if I'm wrong, please let me know. But I'm excited for it. I'm very, very excited for it. So, but I think out of all of them, the one that I want to know more about it is Scorn. And also the medium. Well, okay, let me say something before I keep on going. On purpose, I haven't seen no preview, no gameplay. The only thing that I've seen from the medium is the announcement trailer and also the live action video that just came out a couple of days ago. That's it. I haven't seen anything else. Maybe a lot of people have seen the preview, but I haven't at all. So the reason is, I want to be surprised, especially with those type of games that come with, like, when it come up with horror games. I just want to be surprised when I play for the first time. Like, I remember showing Pete Alan Wake when it first came out, and he tried it for the first time. He had no idea about the game. Zero. He just knew that it just came out. So I took it over there. I had it, like, for, like, a good 2 weeks or so. And there is a video somewhere, I think on YouTube or somewhere, of Pete playing it for the first time, and he was like, "Oh my god, this is no joke."
I remember that.
Pete was freaking out, but I love to be surprised, you know. So I would like to know a little bit more about it, but I don't know. I don't want to be get spoilers or anything like that, you know. So we'll see. But I'm excited. Medium is like what, in a week and a half or something like that? 2 weeks.
28th, right? So 11 days.
The 28th, yeah. 11 days. And hopefully I'll get it early, which I'm going to stream it here on Twitch. Make sure to check it out, twitch.tv/GamerTagRadio. But let us know what game from this list are you excited for. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Let us know. I'll definitely will play it here on the show, man. So, all right. So the next thing we're going to do, Pete, because I want to talk about this, is fan mail. So here it goes. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, Pete. So we have a couple of questions and also a voicemail. Let me start with this, a voicemail first, okay? I'm going to play it right about now.
Hey guys, this is Jimmy C from Albuquerque. So I finally got my PlayStation 5, hooked it all up, put in Miles Morales, started downloading the thing, and the disk drive sounds like a leaf blower. How does this happen? You know, I go online and I search for how to fix it, and you know, I'm gonna have to take off the cover, peel away stickers, start screwing screws until the disc pops out a little bit and put it on, and then they tell me, oh, this is normal because it's reading fast. I think they kind of dropped the ball here. They shouldn't have to take the dang thing apart, brand new unit, popping covers, to get the disc drive to not, you know, be all crazy. Anyways, what do you guys think? Have a good day.
Well, first of all, thank you for the voicemail. We have a PlayStation 5 here, so I haven't really put in any disc in there yet because we've been downloading everything digital. So this is like the first time I'm hearing that there's like a loud noise when it comes to the console. I think that if that happens, sometimes usually when you get like the first batch of like the shipment of any console, sometimes it might be some that is just messed up, you know? So the best thing you could do is just exchange it and talk to the company. Doesn't matter if it's Xbox, Nintendo, or PlayStation, and try to see if you could get a new version, a new console, you know? But have you heard about that? This is like the first time I'm hearing about this.
Nope,
like,
this is not the first time I'm hearing it.
For PlayStation 5?
Yes.
PlayStation 5? Yes. Yeah.
Okay. For both, actually. And again, this goes back to the whole pre-sale, you know, pre-order concept. I mean, all we're doing is we're giving companies the green light to continue doing this until it gets to the point where it's not permitted to release products unless they're 100% ready to go, regardless of whether you're a video game or a physical piece of machinery or electronics. I used the analogy earlier in the show. If your car fails in the middle of the road on its own, right off the dot, like you literally drive off the lot and your wheels fall off, not your fault. You know, that's the manufacturer.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's So, I mean, I'm not going to say that every single PS5 sounds exactly like that. But again, remember, this is also the first batch of machines on this gen. I mean, we all take that risk when we're early adopters, right? So regardless of whether it's the latest iPhone or the newest Android or the newest PS5 or whatever, until it's been out for a while, you're not gonna know this. So unfortunately, you know, and yes and no. It is true that because these discs have so much content, they have to spin because now these discs are actually bottlenecking the CPU, which previously was the issue, right? Previously, you know, disc reads were faster than the CPU. Well, now that's no longer the case. And one of the primary reasons why for me, I've been more so on the go digital side. You don't have to worry about that because whether it was, you know, the last generation or on PC, you know, you're only as slow as your slowest device. And so that's why I have the M.2 drive. That's why I went overboard on memory. You know, I don't want to give myself the opportunity to have those. But this is what happens when you get to an age where our technology is faster than what we're accustomed to in the previous generation. That's why you see these leaps and bounds. And that's why that's again, man, testing. Testing. Yeah. This has to become a priority, man. This has to be a priority.
But here's the thing. I have the consoles. I have actually all of them, right? I'm not having those issues because I only been downloading digital games. I haven't bought a disc in, oh my God, it's been years. So I can't really give my feedback like, hey, I have the same problem. So that's why I said earlier, I don't know. Like I'm not getting that experience, you know? So that issue with PS5, my Xbox, and also any device.
Yeah, money bags. Would money bags go out there and buy a disc and put it in there and see what happens?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah, because look, we have, so here, true story, we have Cyberpunk 2077, the disc version for the PlayStation 5, because that's my girlfriend's game, right? So we haven't even opened it. It's just there, you know? So maybe that will be the first game that I could test out to see if it's loud or not, and I'll record the video and post it out there. But I think the majority of people that I've been talking to, they don't have that issue. I think there's been more issues about the controller for both, for the Xbox and the PlayStation, more than the actual console.
Really? What's the beef on the controller? Because
the controller
before the consoles launched, mm-hmm. Everybody was like, "Oh my god, this PS5 controller is the next greatest thing." Oh my god.
No, it is. It is
from the heavens. Now there's problems with it.
Well, two things. One, I know that this is personally too very experienced, but one is the battery. It's like too quick. It runs out depending on the game that you play, especially if you've tried out the Astro, that demo game that comes in with the game, Astro Room. You try that, battery dies ASAP, you know? And wow. Another thing too, there's people that are saying that it's been breaking. I've been seeing a lot of content creators on YouTube posting about that. I haven't experienced that at all because ours is fine, you know? Now, with the other thing, well, the Xbox controller, and I think their Xbox is going to release an update to fix it. It's been – sometimes it disconnects when you're playing out of nowhere. I don't know why that happens. It's happened to me a couple times, but it's not like – all every single time, you know. So that's the only issues that I've been hearing. But like when it comes to consoles, I haven't really been hearing much like issues when it comes to that, man. You know what I'm saying? So, and I think that's about it from that part, man. So, but yeah, just want to say that very quick. And P, you want to read what are the emails? There's a couple here.
Sure. Do the first one.
All right.
James, I'm glad you said that. You gave me an opportunity. I wanted to read this. Guys, let me just say I'm a huge fan of the show. I follow both Paris and Danny on Twitter. Why don't you follow me?
I do it. Follow him. P-Rock. There you go.
Anyways. Anyways. Gamertag Radio is my very first gaming podcast. Now I listen to Tony and his crew on the Throwdown. Smart man. Mm-hmm. So my question is, whenever devs or creators create games or concepts for games, do they ever take fan input into consideration? I don't mean like mainstream shooters like COD. I mean action RPGs, platform games, JRPGs. For instance, a game like EA Avengers. Why not say, hey, we're creating this game. What do you want to see for this game? Why do companies take such a large gamble on what they think gamers want instead of just asking? They have so many social media outlets at their disposal. Anyway, that's my question. Thanks, guys. He also says, Paris, you have a strong voice. Don't ever let anyone silence it. Anyways, mm-hmm. Yes, they do. They do focus groups. And you know, even in the middle of development, they also invite people over too. And it's not just, you know, QA or testers, but they invite people over to give feedback to these. I've been part of these, we've all been part of these. We've all been invited mm-hmm. out to games. Medal of Honor is one that myself and Mandy were invited out to LA for a week. We did game testing. Actually, it was me, her, Hip Hop Gamer was there. There was like 20 or 30 of us that were invited out, and we stayed there for like a week doing game. Like we're talking 3 sessions a day of game testing, right? So we would sit there and play mm-hmm. the game for 2 or 3 hours. Go back and talk to the developers for an hour, go to lunch. Then during that time, during the lunch period, like we would, the developers would go back, work on the feedback that we provided and create a new build for us to test, go back out, play for another 1 to 2 hours, do another hour to 2 hours of game feedback with the developers, go to dinner while the engineers and the developers went back and did coding, come back the next day, and we would repeat the cycle. So we did this for a week straight where we were the game developer, you know, straight up feedback test for them saying, no, shotguns are overpowered. No, the shield does this. No, this machine gun, you know, it's an LMG. It should be hitting harder. It's not, you know, the rate of fire is too fast. It should be slowed down, et cetera. You know, mm-hmm. we did that. So that was so much that was actually fun for me. So the fact that they actually invited us out and gave us that opportunity was stupid cool. We've seen that for Army of Two back in the day with EA. So this is not outside of the normal, right? We see this, you know, regularly for mm-hmm. this. So don't be, you know, it's not outside of you know, the normal functionality for companies to do that. With regards to the Avengers game, I think there were things, I think, you know, they may have done that. But I don't know. Maybe it's just not the right time for games when games like that come out. I do know that that game did have a much better opportunity for improvement. And again, testing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they are held, and you know, there's agreements with company. Again, this is an Avengers title, so that means it belongs to Marvel, which belongs to Disney, which means money's, right? So if that mm-hmm. game doesn't hit specific milestones, it's going to get pulled or yoinked immediately, or if not sooner. So, or sometimes games just don't have an expectation for a life cycle beyond the initial launch and maybe 6 to 8 months, right? So in a game like that, where, you know, maybe there's not an expectation for, you know, a 3 to 5 year life cycle, they're just putting it out because it coincides with, you know, let's say, you know, Avengers Endgame. And then now you've got a 2 year span where you've got to fill, you know, you've got to fill comic book content until the next movie comes out, et cetera. Those are things that are also considered. And if I am wrong, somebody from Marvel, please reach out and tap me on the shoulder and tell me I'm wrong. But that's what they're doing. They're filling up content so that way their brand or their title stays on the lips and on the ears and on the eyes of consumers. So that way their product, their brand can stay strong for the next 3 or 4 years until the next big movie comes out or the next big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pete, you know that a couple years ago, because I know you mentioned Army of Two, and a lot of people don't know about this, but Pete got to see this game. Where was it? Was it Vancouver? Was it Toronto? I can't remember where was it exactly. But anyways.
Toronto. No, Montreal.
Montreal. Okay. So Pete went there and got to see the game early, and you guys gave feedback to developers that after you went home, they delayed the game based on the feedback that you guys gave the developers mm-hmm. during the event. You know, we've done that many times throughout the years. Like, we'll go to a private event. We'll get to see the game. Sometimes we're not even allowed to talk about it because, you know, we sound like crazy NDAs and all that stuff, right? But I've done that many times in the past. Like, I got to see Battlefront. The first Battlefront early. It was only like 20 of us from around the world. Even before they announced the game, they showed the trailer. We got to see it early, you know. But here's the thing. It's good that we give feedback like the gamers, right? But here's the thing. Sometimes gamers think that we know about the business and we think like we know it all and that's it, like more than the developers. And sometimes they know stuff that it makes sense business wise for the developers. And, you know, and another thing too is I'd rather see developers making the game, they're being creative and they show it to us, and then we'll give them feedback if we like it or not. Because here's the thing, and I've mentioned this multiple times on the show, sometimes when a developer is working on the game, they're stuck in this bubble because they've been working on that game for years, right? So when somebody from the outside get to see the game and they're like, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, that's when they'll be like, it will click, like, oh man, you know, we're not doing, there's certain things we need to change, we're not doing it right. So I'm not going to mention the games, but there's games that we have seen in the past that we sat down and talked to the producers and the developers of the game, and we tell them straight up, don't release this game. Delay it, work on it, fix it up. Sometimes they will listen, and sometimes because of the higher ups, they will release the game because they have no other choice. They have to release it based on the business side when it comes to like the you know, behind the scenes and stuff like that, right? So that happened multiple times, right, Pete? Like we give them the feedback and they have no choice; they have to release it, you know. So it's like, damn. There's other games too that we enjoyed, we liked it. We talked about it on the show, but then the media doesn't like it either. So it's kind of hard when it comes to that part, right, Pete? Like. You know what I'm trying to say, Pete? Like when we played some games that we really enjoy and then the media review it, they mm-hmm. give it like a lower score and we're like, hey, perfect example, Destiny. We got to play Destiny, I think, was it Alpha? I'm trying to remember the first Destiny. Remember we got it really, really early and we were only allowed to do like one mission. Then the beta came out mm-hmm. and you could tell like they fixed a lot of things compared to the Alpha version. And it was the same exact thing. It was just graphically was a lot better. It will play smoother. The sound was a lot better, you know. So it's good to experience that behind the scenes because you will get to see like, okay, what are the changes? Another game that we played early, Pete, I forgot to mention, was Titanfall. Mm-hmm. When it was that one was really early. I think it was only us. And certain people from developers, and that's it. Like it was very, very small, a group of people that got to play the multiplayer nonstop, and it was only like one level. That's it, you know. So, but yeah, you were gonna say something about that?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I do Microsoft flights for the Halo franchise, right? So mm-hmm. I'll get like access to the test version of, let's say, you know, like the last. Over the last year, I've been doing a lot of the flights for Master Chief Collection on PC, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll play. We don't get access to the single player. It's mostly been the multiplayer stuff that we've been getting access to. So we jump in and we're on, you know, we're doing, you know, team, you know, whether it's Slayer or Capture the Flag or King of the Hill, etc. And then we get to use. That opportunity to play against other players, play against other devs, and then provide feedback in the forums back to whether it's 343 or whomever. And then they take that information. It's basically what we're doing, you know, what we have done in the past, whether we get flown out, but in this case, doing it from the comfort of home, they're saying, okay, well, what are your specs on your PC? You know, so I send them, okay, here's my CPU, here's my memory, here's my motherboard. You know, here's my mm-hmm. GPU. This is where I'm playing from. So I'm playing with EU people mostly. You know, here's what I saw. Here's the problems that I had. And then they take that information. They go through the loads. They go through the logs. And then they fix it. So mm-hmm. That's exactly what, you know, developers need to do and continue to do to make sure that their product comes out. I don't want to say bug-free because it's very, very rare things come out that's bug-free. But things that come out as bug-free as possible.
Yeah. No, I hope one day, I would love to like for us to sit down and just talk about our experience throughout the years of just attending events. And we could talk about like, how was it attending this event and the feedback. I think that would be cool because a lot of listeners never experienced that, and I think that will be a great conversation, Pete, for us to do that, you know. And one more thing before we go to the next question is there was one time, too, that Pete got invited to check out Dead Space. Remember that, Pete? The Dead Space Community Day? And the developers were super nervous and excited at the same time because they've been working on that project for a long time. So they invited the group to attend the event. And they had, I think it was like a movie night. It was like a scary movie night. I forgot which movie it was, Pete, because you were the one that mentioned that to me.
We did Sunshine and there's another one.
Okay. Yes, okay. Yeah, well, beside the point. So you guys had a session, a Q&A session, which you could listen to like the old GTR episodes because Pete recorded the whole thing. But I remember that you were really excited when you left that event, you know. So there's going to be moments like that, and there's going to be moments where we'll get to see the game, and we have a lot of questions like, "This is going to work out." And one of them was the first division. Remember, the first division, that I think one of the questions that you guys asked, to the developer was, or the producer, I can't exactly remember. Creative, you were like,
I think it was a creative director that was
Paris. Creative director. There you go. Creative director.
A week before launch.
Okay. The game looks fun. Okay. So the end game, can you tell us about it? And what was his response? He looked nervous.
You can get a pink gun.
Yeah, you can get a pink gun. That's it. That was the answer. And you guys were like, okay. You know, so it happens, man. You know, but here's the thing. I think that when a company is very open and they will allow for just regular gamers to check out the game, I think that's cool. Even if the game is good or bad, like that's when you notice that either they care about the product, they want people to know, to give them a feedback, good or bad. And hopefully this will help them to make the product even better for the next project, you know? So more companies should do that, a lot more. So just want to say that. That was a very long answer, but there you go. All right, so we have another email here from Jonathan. He said, "Hi, I'm a big fan of the show. I think I agree with Paris that Machine Games Indiana Jones isn't going to be console exclusive." By the way, I said the same exact thing, that this is going to be not exclusive for Xbox. All right, so I'm going to read straight to the question. How do you think the licensing deal works for a game that is going to be mostly played on Game Pass? Does Microsoft just pay Disney a big chunk of money up front? Does Disney get a certain amount of money per download if it were a sale? Thank you, Jonathan, for the question. So a couple things. So I can't say that this game is going to be mostly played on Game Pass. We don't know. We don't know yet if it's going to be available on Game Pass or not. Another thing too, and I mentioned this, when a game is available on Xbox Game Pass, it doesn't matter if it's AAA, OAA, or independent games, there is going to be different deals depending on the publisher, if they allow it, or maybe they want a certain amount of money more than others. Like it's complicated when it comes to that, right? Another thing too is, yes, a publisher or developer will get a certain amount of money per download, or maybe based on how many people are actually playing it. So think of it like this. Every time you stream a song on Spotify, that label or that artist, if he or she is independent, will get royalties. So think of it as like that. Is it going to be the same amount of money like when they sell a game at a store or online? No, it's not. It's not going to be that amount. It's going to be less than that. But here's a good thing about having a game to a service like Game Pass or even a movie on Netflix, right? Is that you don't have to worry about shipping. You don't have to worry about packaging. You don't have to worry about if it's used games, if a consumer will sell it to a store and the store will get the 100% of the profit and the studio will get 0%, you know, so they don't have to worry about that at all. Another thing too is if a game is really old and it's not selling anymore, this will be another way for the company to the publisher to get some type of income, even the game is like years old, because there's a group of people that probably never played the game. So when they sign up to Game Pass and they download the game, they will get something out of it. You know what I'm trying to say? So it all depends on the deal behind the scenes. The beauty part about Game Pass is you probably will see a game that might be popular or might be like just been added into the service. You're curious about it, you play it. Sometimes you will continue playing it, sometimes not, but it will help you to discover new games, I think, you know. So now when it comes to Disney and Microsoft, we don't know yet. Just because of the whole Bethesda deal and all that, we have no idea if this is going to be like available on Game Pass or if Microsoft pay a lot of money up front to Disney to have that game available to the service. So Pete, you want to say anything about that? Because I think that was like a very long answer from me.
Well, I mean, but you're in a sense, you are right. They do have to pay a large sum to the license holder or to the developer, to the publisher, et cetera, just to make up for the potential for loss of revenue for not being able to. Now, as the consumer, like you said, you could still go out and purchase it just because it's available. Like I could have let's say I've got, Spotify, perfect example. I've got Spotify and I can listen to my artists, my favorite artists as much as I want. Right. Mm-hmm. I'll use one of my favorite bands. Trivium comes out with a brand new album. In order to support the band, because I know they make more money on purchase, selling the actual disc, I'll go out and I'll buy the latest, CD. That way, I know that my money is going towards the artist. I'll still listen to it digitally, right? And I'll try to get them as much money as I can via my streams, but I know that they're not going to get, as much as they would have from buying the physical product, right? So if you as a consumer want to support your favorite creators, developers, publishers, etc., you can do that. But when you have a system like Game Pass, they are offsetting some of that lost revenue that the developer, in this case, Machine Games, they would say, okay, well, look, Disney and or Machine Games are going to get X amount of dollars upfront as part of this Game Pass agreement to make up for that loss of revenue. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there you have it, Jonathan. Thank you for the email. All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Head over to gamertagradio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio and follow us, subscribe, and post your review if you can. That will help us out big time, because every time you do that, every time you subscribe or follow us or even post a review, we'll climb the top of the charts and it will help us get discovered even more. So all you have to do is just do that, and it will help out GTR big time. Plus, if you can, share with your friends. I think that's a plus too. All right. And if you would like to be part of our fan mail discussion segment or even a full episode of just fan mail questions, we need those questions. Send it. This is how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Pete, anything else before we stop the recording and then we do the after show on Twitch?
I think that's it, to be honest.
That's okay.
Nothing else.
All right. Well, I want to say this very quick. Lately, I've been streaming a lot on Twitch, a lot. I've been playing a lot of games, Switch, Xbox. So whenever you get the chance, go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio. Follow us through there. Subscribe if you want, or watch us live. Right now we don't have a steady schedule yet, because right now we're just testing the waters. Pete's in a different side of the world. He's trying to figure out the best time for him to stream. But we're going to be streaming more. And now that I have the equipment, and slowly I'm going to be upgrading more, I'm going to be doing that more. So please, just check it out whenever you get the chance. Or if you miss it, you can watch the VODs, the video on demand version of the stream. All right. So head over to twitch.tv/gamertagradio. That's twitch.tv/gamertagradio. And that's about it. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.